Tape number 10 in the series on The Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. The chapter on the conformity to the will of God. We continue with the third point, happiness derived from conformity to God's will. He who is united with the divine will enjoys, even in this life, a perpetual peace. Whatsoever shall befall the just man, it shall not make him sad. Yes, for a man cannot enjoy greater happiness than that which arises from the accomplishment of all his wishes. He who wills only what God wills possesses all that he desires, for whatever happens to him happens by the will of God. If, says Salvian, the soul that is resigned to be humbled, it desires humiliations. If it is poor, it delights in poverty. In a word, it wishes whatever happens, and thus leads a happy life. Let cold, heat, wind, or rain come, and he that is united with the will of God says, I wish for this cold, this heat, this wind, and this rain, because God wills them. If loss of property, persecution, or sickness befall him, he says, I wish to be miserable, to be persecuted, to be sick, because such is the will of God. He who reposes in the divine will and is resigned to whatever the Lord does is like a man who stands above the clouds and without injury or perturbation beholds the tempest raging below. This is the peace which, according to the apostle, surpasseth all understanding, which exceeds all the delights of the world, a perpetual peace, subject to no vicissitudes. A fool is changed like the moon, a holy man continueth in wisdom like the sun. Fools, that is, sinners, are changed like the moon, which increases today, grows less on tomorrow. Today they are seen to laugh, and tomorrow to weep. Today, all joy and meekness, tomorrow, all sadness and fury. In a word, they change with prosperity and adversity. But the just man is like the sun, always the same, and uniformly tranquil in whatever happens, for his peace consists in conforming himself to the divine will. And on earth, peace to men of good will. At the bare mention of the will of God, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi used to feel much consolation that she would fall into an ecstasy of love. When the will is united with the will of God, crosses may produce some pain in the inferior part, but in the superior part, peace shall always reign. Your joy no man shall take from you. But how great the folly of those who oppose the will of God! What God wills will certainly happen, for who resisteth his will? They therefore must bear the cross, but without fruit and without peace. Who hath resisted him and hath had peace? And what else but our welfare does God will? This is the will of your God, your sanctification. He wishes to see us saints, that we may be content in this life and happy in the next. Let us remember that the crosses which come to us from God work together unto good. Even chastisements are inflicted on us in this life, not for ruin, but that we may amend and gain eternal beatitude. Let us believe that these scourges of the Lord have happened for our amendment and not for our destruction. God loves us so ardently that he not only desires but is solicitous for the salvation of each of us. The Lord is careful for me, and what will he deny us after having given us his Son? He that spared not even his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how hath he not also with him given us all things? Let us then always abandon ourselves into the hands of that God who is always solicitous for our welfare as long as we remain in this world, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Think of me, said our Lord to St. Catherine of Siena, and I will always think of you. Let us often say with the spouse of the Canticles, my beloved to me and I to him. My beloved thinks of my welfare, and I will think only of pleasing him and of uniting myself to his holy will. We ought, says the holy abbot Nillus, to pray not that God would do what we wish, but that we may do what he wills. He who always acts in this manner will lead a happy life and will die a happy death. He who dies with entire resignation to the divine will gives to others a moral certainty of his salvation. But he who is not united with the divine will during life will not be united with it at death and will not be saved. Let us then endeavor to make ourselves familiar with some sayings of the Scripture by which we shall always keep ourselves united with the will of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, tell me what thou wishest me to do. I am ready and willing to do it. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, my soul is thy servant. Command, and thou shalt be obeyed. I am thine. Save me. Save me, O Lord, and then do what thou pleasest with me. Save thine, I am no longer mine. When any serious cross or adversity happens to us, let us say, Yea, Father, for so it hath seemed good in thy sight. My God, this has pleased thee. Let it be done. Above all, let the third petition of the Lord's Prayer be dear to us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us say it often, with fervor, and let us repeat it several times. Happy we if we live and die saying, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. Affections and prayers. O Jesus, my Redeemer, Thou hast sacrificed Thy life on the cross in order to become the cause of my salvation. Have mercy on me, then, and save me. Do not permit a soul that Thou hast redeemed by so many pains and with so much love to hate Thee for eternity in hell. Thou canst do nothing more to oblige me to love Thee. This Thou gavest me to understand, when before Thou didst expire on Calvary, Thou didst utter these loving words, It is consummated. But how have I repaid Thy love? For the past, I can truly say that I have done all I could to displease Thee and to oblige Thee to hate me. I thank Thee for having borne with me so much patience, and for now giving me time to repair my ingratitude and to love Thee before I die. Yes, I wish to love Thee, and I wish to love Thee ardently, my Savior, my God, my love, and my all. I wish to do whatever is pleasing to Thee. I give Thee my whole will, my whole liberty, and all that I possess. From this hour I sacrifice my life to Thee, accepting the death which Thou wilt send me, along with all the pains and circumstances that will accompany it. From this moment, I unite this sacrifice of mine to the great sacrifice of Thy life, which Thou, my Jesus, didst offer for me on the cross. I wish to die in order to do Thy will. Ah, through the merits of Thy passion, give me grace to be, during life, resigned to the arrangements of Thy providence. And when death comes, grant that I may embrace with an entire conformity Thy holy will. I wish to die, O my Jesus, in order to please Thee. I wish to die saying, Thy will be done. Mary, my mother, it was thus Thou didst die. Obtain for me the grace that I too may die in this manner. Live, Jesus, our love, and Mary, our hope. We continue now with the preparation for death and the maxims of eternity, or meditations for every day in the week. Meditation for Sunday. First, a footnote. These meditations are an excellent summary of the foregoing considerations on the last things of man. As they contain nothing exclusively proper to the days of the week to which they've been assigned, they may also be used at other times. They are substantially the same as those that are found in the works of Father Sarnelli and in those of St. Leonard of Port Maurice, and perhaps elsewhere, since neither appears to be the author of them. St. Alphonsus arranged them according to his own method and inserted them in the first work that he published about the year 1747 under the title of Smaller Spiritual Works. Meditation for Sunday, The End of Man. Consider, O my soul, that the being which you enjoy was given to you by God. He created you to his own image without any merit on your part. He adopted you for his child by baptism. He loved you more than the most affectionate parent could ever have loved you. He has made you all you are, that you might know him, love him, and serve him in this life, and thereby arrive at the eternal possession of him in heaven. Hence, you did not come into this world for the sake of enjoyment, to grow rich and powerful, to eat, drink, and sleep like irrational animals, but solely to love your God and to work out your eternal salvation. And is this the object that I have hitherto had in view? Oh, how unfortunate have I been in having thought of everything else rather than of my last end. O God, I beg of thee, in the name and for the love of Jesus, to grant that I may begin a new life of perfect holiness and conformity to thy divine will. Consider what deep remorse and bitter regret you will feel at the hour of death, if during life you have not devoted yourself to the service of God. How great will be your disappointment when at the close of your days you will perceive that nothing remains at that sorrowful moment of all your goods, of all your pleasures, and of all your earthly glory, but a shadow that flies before you, and a bitter remembrance which pursues you. What will be your consternation when you will discover that for the sake of miserable vanities you have lost your God, your soul, and your salvation, without the possibility of being able to repair your misfortune? Oh, despair! Oh, cruel torment! You will then see the value of the time that you are losing, but it will be too late. Gladly would you then purchase time at the price of all you have, but you will not be able to do so. Oh, how full of bitterness and sorrow will that day be for every soul that has not loved and served the Lord! Consider the general disregard of men for their last end. Their ordinary thoughts are upon the accumulation of wealth, the gratification of their senses, parties of pleasure, amusement, and festivity. They think nothing of God or of his service. They do nothing for the salvation of their souls. They regard the affair of salvation as a trifle not worthy of notice. Thus, O deplorable misfortune, the greater part of Christians, by indulging in foolish pleasures and criminal gratifications, precipitate themselves into hell. O man, you take much pains to damn yourself, and will you do nothing for your salvation? Listen to the dying sentiments of a Secretary of State, of one of the kings of England. "How great," said he, "is my misfortune! I have used many sheets of paper in writing letters for my sovereign, and alas, I have not used one to help me in the recollection of my sins, that I might make a good confession." Listen to the deathbed sentiments of a king of Spain. "Oh, that I had spent my life in a desert, occupied in serving God, and had never been a king." But to what do these sighs and lamentations then serve but to augment the horrors of despair? Learn them this day at the expense of others to devote yourself to the salvation of your soul. Remember well that all your actions, all your words, and all your thoughts that are not directed to God are entirely lost. Oh, it is time then to amend your life. Do not wait, therefore, to be convinced of this till you arrive at the gates of eternity and the jaws of hell. It will then be too late. Oh, my God, pardon me all the errors of my life. I love thee above all things. I am sorry from the bottom of my heart for all my sins. O Mary, my hope, intercede with Jesus in my behalf. Meditation for Monday, The Importance of Our Last End. Consider, O man, how important it is to you to save your soul. Your dearest interests are there concerned, because if you attain salvation, you will be eternally happy in the enjoyment of every good, both of soul and body. But in losing it, you lose your soul and body, heaven and God. you will be eternally miserable, eternally damned. Your only important, your only necessary affair, therefore, is to serve your God and to save your soul. Do not then, O Christian, think of serving your passions now and of giving yourself to God hereafter. Oh, how many has this false and deceitful hope precipitated into hell? Thousands of sinners have flattered themselves with the hope of future repentance, but the day in which they hoped never arrived, and they are now suffering without resource the torments of the damned. And who amongst them all ever thought of falling into that place of woe? Which of them had not the intention of saving his soul? But God curses him that sins in the hope of pardon. You say perhaps within yourself, I will commit this sin and then repent. But are you sure that time will be allowed you for repentance? You may die the moment you've sinned. By sinning you lose the grace of God, and what if you never more recover it? God shows mercy to those who fear him, but not to those who condemn and despise him. Think not, therefore, that it will cost you no more to repent of and confess three sins than to repent of and confess one sin. No, in this thought you are deceived. God might pardon you a first or a second sin, but not a third. He has patience with the sinner for a time, but not forever. When the measure of iniquity is filled up, his mercy ceases, and he punishes the impenitent sinner either by death or by abandoning him to a reprobate sense, in which state he goes on from sin to sin without remorse, and at length is precipitated into hell. O Christian, attend seriously to this. It is time you should put an end to your disorders and return to God. You should fear lest this will be the last warning that he will ever send you. You have offended him long enough, and he has borne with you long enough in your sins. Tremble then lest he should forsake you after the next mortal sin. Oh, how many souls has this striking thought of eternity caused to retire from the disorders and dangers of the world to live in cloisters, solitudes, and deserts. Unfortunate sinner that I have been, what is the fruit of all my crimes? A conscience gnawed with despair, a troubled heart, a soul overwhelmed with grief, hell deserved and God lost. Ah, my God, my heavenly Father, bind me to thy love. Consider, O man, that this affair of eternity is above all others the most neglected. Mankind have time to think of everything but God and salvation. If a man of the world is advised to frequent the sacraments, or to spend a quarter of an hour daily in meditation, he will immediately say, I have a family to provide for, I have my business to attend to, I have sufficient to keep me employed. Good God, and have you not a soul to save? Will your riches and your family be able to assist you at the hour of your death, or deliver you from hell if you are condemned? No, no. Flatter not yourself that you are able to reconcile God and the world, heaven and sin together. Salvation is not to be attained by a life of indolence and ease. It is necessary to use violence and to make great efforts in order to obtain the crown of immortality. How many Christians have flattered themselves with the idea of serving God and saving their souls hereafter, who are at this moment and will forever be in the flames of hell? How great is the folly of men in attending to what will so shortly terminate and thinking so little of that state which will never end. Ah, Christian, put your affairs in order. Reflect that your all is at stake. Remember that in a very short time your body will be deposited in the earth and your soul will go to dwell in the house of eternity. How dreadful then will be your misfortune if you are condemned to an eternity of woe. Reflect well on this, for then you can have no remedy. Consider and say within yourself, I have a soul, and if I lose it, all is lost. I have a soul, and if in losing it I were to gain the whole world, what would it profit me? I have a soul, but if I lose it, although I were to arrive at the highest pinnacle of glory, of what advantage will it be to me? if I hoard up riches, if I get forward in the world, but in the end lose my soul, what will be my consolation? Where are now the dignities, pleasures, and vanities of those great ones of the world, whose bodies are moldering in the dust, and whose souls are a prey to the flames of hell? Since then I have a soul, and only one, to save, and if I lose it once, it is lost forever, I ought to endeavor to save it. This is an affair of the highest importance to me. Eternal happiness and eternal misery are at stake. O my God, I am forced to acknowledge with shame and confusion that I have hitherto blindly wandered astray from Thee. I have scarcely ever thought seriously of saving my soul. O my Father, save me through Jesus Christ. I am willing to part with everything here, provided I do not lose Thee. O Mary, my surest hope, save me by Thy powerful intercession. Meditation for Tuesday. Mortal Sin. Consider, O my soul, that I, having been created to love God, you have rebelled against Him, and thereby been guilty of the basest ingratitude. You have treated Him like an enemy. You have despised His grace and friendship. You were aware how much sin offends Him, and still you have committed it. Yes, you've turned your back on God. You've insulted Him. You have, in a manner, raised your hand to strike Him. You have saddened His Holy Spirit. The man who sins says to God, if not in words, at least in effect, "Begone from me, I will not serve Thee, I will not acknowledge Thee for my God. The God whom I adore is this pleasure, this interest, this revenge." Such has been the language of your heart every time that you have preferred any creature to God. Saint Mary Magdalene of Pazzi could not conceive how a Christian could knowingly commit a mortal sin. Oh, you who are reading these lines or hearing them, what are your sentiments? How many mortal sins have you committed? Oh, my God, pardon me, have mercy on me. I detest all my sins. I love Thee and grieve sincerely for the insults that I have offered to Thee, who are deserving of infinite love. Consider that God thus spoke to your heart at the moment you were offending Him. My son, I am your God who created you and redeemed you at the price of my blood. I forbid you then to commit that sin under pain of incurring my eternal displeasure. But in yielding to the temptation, you have replied, Lord, I will not obey Thee. I am resolved to gratify my passions. I value not Thy friendship. Thou hast said, I will not serve. Ah, my God, and this I have done many, perhaps thousands of times. How couldst Thou bear with my insults? Why did I not die rather than live to offend Thee? But, O infinite goodness, I will do so no more. Henceforth I will love Thee with all my heart. Give me perseverance. Give me Thy holy love. Consider, O my soul, that when sins reach a certain number, they cause God to abandon the sinner. The Lord patiently expecteth that when the day of judgment shall come, He may punish them in the fullness of sins. If therefore you are again tempted to return to your sins, say no more within yourself, I will commit this one and will then repent. For what if the Lord should instantly strike you dead? Or what if He should forsake you forever? What has been the fate of thousands who have thus lost the grace of God? They flattered themselves with the hope of pardon, but death surprised them, and hell enveloped them in its flames. Tremble then, lest your fate be the same. Those who abuse the goodness of God in order to offend Him are undeserving of His mercy. After the multitude of crimes that He has pardoned you, you have too much reason to fear that, if you relapse into mortal sin, He will pardon you no more. Thank Him, then, 1,000 times for having borne patiently with you until now, and form the resolution rather to die than to offend Him any more. Say frequently to Him, My God, I have already offended Thee enough. The remainder of my life shall be spent in loving Thee and in bewailing my past ingratitude. O my Jesus, I wish to love Thee. Grant me the grace to do so. O Blessed Virgin, my Mother, assist me by Thy prayers. Amen. Meditation for Wednesday. Death. Consider that this life must soon terminate. The sentence is already passed. You must die. Death is certain, but the moment of it is uncertain. We know not when it will come. But to how many casualties and accidents is human life constantly exposed? The bleeding of an artery, a stroke of apoplexy, the bite of a venomous animal, an inundation, an earthquake, a thunderbolt, and numberless other causes that we can neither foresee nor prevent may deprive you instantly of life. Death may surprise you when you least expect it. How many have gone to bed at night in apparent good health, and in the morning have been found dead? And may not the same happen to you? Numberless others who have been visited by sudden death never expected to die in that manner, and if they were then found in mortal sin, what is now their fate, and what will it be through all eternity? But at all events, it is certain that either this night will come when you will no more see the day, or the day will come when you will no more see the night. I shall come, says Jesus Christ, like a thief in the night, when I am the least expected. Your good Master warns you of this beforehand, because he wishes your salvation. O sinner, correspond then with this mercy. Profit by its admonition. Hold yourself always in readiness for death. When that moment comes, there will be no time for preparation. Consider well that you must certainly die. The scene of this world must soon terminate for you, though you know not when. Who can tell whether it will be within a year, within a month, within a week, or even whether you will be alive tomorrow? O my Jesus, give me light and pardon me. Consider that at the hour of your death, you will be extended on a bed, with your relatives and friends weeping over you, a priest to assist you, a lighted taper by your side, within one step of the terrible passage into eternity. Your head will be oppressed with pain, your eyes will become dim, your tongue parched with heat, your blood cooling in your veins, and your heart in agony. You will see the world passing from before you. No sooner will your soul become separated from your body than you will be stripped of all things and cast into the earth to rot. There you will become the food of worms, which will gnaw and devour your flesh, and in a short time nothing will remain of your body but a few withered bones and a little dust. Open a grave and take a view of the state of that rich and avaricious man, of that vain woman. Ah, such is the termination of human life. Such is the end of mortal man, and such will soon be yours. But penetrate with the eyes of faith into the other world, and see the condition in which your soul will be placed. It will instantly be surrounded by the monsters of hell, representing before you all the sins that you've committed from your very childhood. At present, the devil hides from you the malice of your crimes. He persuades you that there is little evil in this act of vanity, this indulgence, this resentment, this dangerous company. But in death, he will display before your eyes the enormity of your sins to make you despair. Then you will discover in the light of God himself the evil which you have committed in offending his infinite goodness. Ah, hasten then, whilst time remains, to make reparation for what is past. At the hour of death, it will be too late. Consider that death is a moment on which eternity depends. Take a view of a man who is on the point of expiring and reflect that he is just going to enter into one or other of the two eternities. His fate is pending but for a moment. When that's expired, he's either saved or condemned forever. Oh, this last breath. Oh, this moment on which depends an eternity. An eternity either of torment or of glory. An eternity either always happy or always miserable. an eternity either of all that is good or of all that is evil, an eternity either of heaven or of hell. If you are then saved, you will be secure from all evils and at the summit of happiness and content. If you are condemned, you will live in punishment and despair as long as God will be God. In death, you will understand the meaning of heaven, hell, sin, an offended God, the contempt of divine laws, sins concealed in confession, ill-gotten goods unrestored, injuries not pardoned. Unhappy me, will the dying man say, in a few moments I must appear in the presence of God. What will my sentence be? Whither shall I go, to heaven or to hell? Shall I be happy with the saints or burn with the damned? Shall I be a child of God or a slave of the devil? Alas, but a minute more and I shall know, and the destiny which I shall then receive will last for all eternity. Then will you detest 1,000 times the day on which you had the misfortune to sin. But it will be too late. Your sorrow will be fruitless, because it will proceed from the fear and not from the love of God. Ah, my God, from this hour I will turn to Thee. I will not delay my repentance until death. I now love Thee, I embrace Thee, and I wish to die in Thy embraces. O Mary, my true mother, let me die under Thy protection. Help me at that critical and decisive moment. Meditation for Thursday, Judgment. Consider that the soul will no sooner have departed from the body than it will appear before the tribunal of God to be judged. This judge is the Almighty, whose wrath is provoked by your sins. Your accuser will be your mortal enemy, the devil. The matter of your trial will be your sins. Your sentence will be without appeal, and if found guilty, your punishment will be hell. You will not have the power of calling your parents, friends, and companions to your aid. All must be concluded between God and your soul. You will then see the deformity of your crimes, and will not be able, as at present, to excuse them. You will be examined upon all your sins of thought, of words, of actions, of omissions, of scandal. You will be weighed in the terrible scales of divine justice, and if found wanting in a single point, you are lost. My Jesus and my Judge, pardon me before Thou dost judge me. Consider that at the end of the world, our bodies will rise again to participate in the reward or punishment of the soul according to our works, when all the nations of the earth will be assembled in the valley of Josaphat to be judged. If you are condemned, you will resume your body as an eternal prison for your unfortunate soul. At this sorrowful reunion, the soul will curse the body and the body the soul, so that although at present they mutually consent to pursue unlawful pleasures, after death they will become each other's tormentor. On the other hand, if you are saved, your body will arise beautiful, impassible, and glorious, and thus, both in body and soul, you will be judged worthy of eternal happiness. Thus will close the scene of this world. Thus will terminate all the greatness, all the pleasures, and all the pomps of the earth. Yes, all will be at an end. Nothing will remain but 2 eternities, one of glory, the other of pain, one of joy, the other of torments. The just will dwell in heaven, the wicked in hell. Woe then to him that has loved the world. Woe to him that for the vain and fleeting pleasures of the earth has lost his soul, his body, heaven, and God. Consider the eternal sentence which Jesus Christ will pass upon the reprobate and the elect. This sovereign judge, turning towards the reprobate, will say, "Behold, the ungrateful wretches, the event of your crimes. My hour is come, the hour of truth, of justice, of vengeance, and of wrath." Criminal souls, you have chosen my curse. Let it fall upon you. Be cursed for all eternity. Depart from me, despoiled of every good, and laden with all evil, into eternal fire. Then turning towards the elect, Jesus will thus address them. Come, ye blessed children of my heavenly Father, come and take possession of the kingdom of heaven, which is prepared for you. Come, no longer to carry your cross after me, but to wear a crown. Come to inherit my riches, and to be the companions of my glory. Come from the land of exile to your true country. Come from sufferings to glory, from tears to joy. O my Jesus, I hope to be one of those whom thou wilt then bless. I love thee above all things. Bless me at this moment. O my Mother Mary, do thou also bless me. Meditation for Friday. Hell. Consider that hell is a dreadful prison filled with fire. In this fire, the reprobate are enveloped, having an abyss of fire above them, around them, and below them, in their eyes, their mouths, and throughout every part of their frame. There each sense suffers a torment peculiar to itself. The eyes are tormented with darkness and smoke, and at the same time by the sight of devils and damned souls. The ears hear nothing but continued howlings, lamentations, and blasphemies. The smell is tormented by the stench of half-putrefied bodies. The taste, by a burning thirst and cruel hunger, without the possibility of being alleviated by a drop of water or a morsel of bread. Hence, proceed from those miserable captives tears, groans, lamentations, howlings, and despair, but all in vain. They will never obtain the smallest consolation under their torments, or the least mitigation of their pains. O hell, hell, shall we wait until we are buried in your flames to believe you and to fear you? And yet this is the conduct of thoughtless and unrepenting sinners. O you who are reading this or hearing this, what is your state? Were you to die this moment, whither would you go? Ah, you could not endure the pain of a spark of fire falling upon your hand. And have you the assurance to expose yourself to the hazard of burning in a pool of fire, in desolation and despair, for all eternity? Consider the punishments that will be inflicted in hell on all the powers of the soul. The memory will be forever tormented with the recollection of sin and with remorse of conscience. This gnawing worm will continually remind you that you have damned yourself for some miserable pleasure or interest. O God, what will the soul think of past pleasures after hundreds, thousands, and millions of years spent in hell? This gnawing worm will call to its recollection the time which God had given it for repentance, the means of salvation wherewith he had furnished it, the good example which he had set before it, and the resolutions which it had formed, but would never execute. The soul will, moreover, see that its present state is irremediable. O God, how terrible is hell! The will also will be eternally contradicted. It will never obtain what it wishes, and will always meet with what it would gladly avoid. The understanding will discover the greatness of the good which it has lost in losing heaven and God. O God, pardon me for the love of Jesus Christ. Sinner, you who at present make small account of losing God, will discover your misfortune when you will see the elect triumph and exult with joy on their entrance into heaven, and yourself banished, like an unclean animal, from that blessed country, deprived forever of seeing the face of an infinitely amiable God, and separated from the company of Mary, of the angels and saints. Then, in fury and despair, you will exclaim, O paradise of delights, O God of infinite goodness, thou art not and never will be mine. Repent then. Change your life. Do not wait till the time of repentance is at an end. Give yourself to God. begin truly to love him. Beg of Jesus and Mary to have pity on you. We will continue with the meditations and the means of perseverance in the preparation for death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori on side B of this tape.